turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Book of Exodus, chapter 17. I'd like to read first 15 verses. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore, because there was no water for the people to drink, the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go on before the people. Take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?' Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, 'Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand.' So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited or weakened Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi." As in all Scripture, there is a variety of spiritual lessons, spiritual application in this passage of Scripture. All Scripture is a treasure chest of inconceivable spiritual wealth. And again, can one verse of Scripture, one line of Scripture, can have several applications. This is what makes Scripture so relevant in our day. We need to thank God for the variety, for the comprehensive range of truth covered in every passage. In this passage, we read of a battle between Amalek and Israel. And we see Moses, Aaron, and Hur on top of a hill. Joshua and some chosen men fighting with Amalek below. We see that in verses 9 and verse 10. Verses 11 and 12, we see that they held up the hands of Moses. And by so doing, they prevailed over the Amalekites. In this message, we want to view what is recorded here from two different perspectives and see different lessons and applications that the Lord has for us. The subject of the message is simply Aaron and Hur. Aaron and Hur. There is a lesson here in spiritual warfare for all of us. From verse 1, we see that the children of Israel, they've arrived in Rephidim, and we read that upon their arrival, there was no water for the people to drink. We notice in verses 2 and 3 that the people began to chide with Moses. They began to murmur. Notice the response of Moses in verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people?" We can read that, and Moses said unto the Lord, "What shall I do?" And that should be our response to everything. Lord, what shall I do? In the midst of trial, in the midst of difficulty, Moses went to the Lord, just as Hezekiah, we saw this morning, went to the Lord. He sought personal counsel from the Lord. And that is an example to all of us that are saved. We ought to always seek the counsel of the Lord. And the sooner this becomes our life, the better off we'll be. The sooner this is our response to everything. Lord, what shall I do? The greater blessing we will be to others. Notice that after Moses sought the Lord, he received explicit instruction from the Lord, and he followed that instruction. Verse 5 and verse 6, the Lord told Moses to go before the people, take the elders of Israel, and go to a rock in Horeb. Take your rod with you. When you get to that rock, I want you to smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. Now that is not logical to the human mind. If you go and you talk to the Lord and you tell the Lord that you're thirsty and the people are thirsty and the Lord tells you, take that stick and go and hit that rock, that don't make any sense. How in the world is that going to bring water out of that rock? But that's how the Lord answers us many times. He gives us answers that are illogical to the human mind. If everything has to be logical to your mind, your life is going to be a mess. Because that's not how the Lord works. Moses followed the instruction. And notice in doing so, there was an abundance. Verse 6. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And we see that the water flowed from the rock. By obeying God, there was an abundance. Whether it makes sense or not, you obey God, and this is what leads to abundance. Out from the rock flowed the water. And there is abundance in following the Lord's instruction. In following the Lord's instruction, they experienced a miracle. Whoever heard of hitting a rock with a stick, and out comes water for all the people. They experienced a miracle. And God's people would experience many a miracle. if they just obeyed, if they just did what God told them, whether it makes sense or not. That they experienced something that could never be brought about any other way. They experienced something that no human being could bring about. We see they received the water. That is, there was a receiving from the Lord. Follow the instruction of God. There is a receiving from the Lord in doing so. When they received the water, they were refreshed. They had a refreshment from the Lord. Obey God's instruction, again, whether it makes sense or not. And there is refreshment from the Lord. Was there not also a release from the Lord? They were released from their murmuring. They were released from their complaining. They were released from their bad spirit. They followed the Lord. Moses followed the Lord, and this was the result. There was rest from the Lord. There was a reviving from the Lord. You see, God's way works. Ours doesn't. And even if you think it is, it's only short term. God's way works. Notice verse 8. So there's Israel. They're now enjoying the blessings of God. Then came, and that then there is very important. During this time of spiritual refreshment, during this time of abundance, during this time of fresh supply from God, during this time of rest from God, then came Amalek. Similar to what we saw this morning. The enemy shows up right in the midst of the blessing. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. So there God's people are enjoying the blessings of God, having a wonderful time, and here comes the enemy, Amalek, meaning warlike, a very appropriate name for that which wars against our souls. You see, Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Esau, of course, was rejected of God. Amalek was his grandson. Moses said of Amalek in Deuteronomy 25, in verse 18, that he feared not God. Then came Amalek and fought against Israel. He feared not God. That was his character. That is also true of Satan. That is true of the world. It is true of our flesh. It's true of everything that fights against the well-being of our soul. You see, the Amalekites were a nomadic people. That is, they had no real permanent abode. They just went from place to place. That's one of the problems with Amalek. They kind of roam around. And wherever they roam, they bring destruction. It's very similar to the liberals today. They ruin the state they live in, and then they move to a conservative state and work on ruining it. The Amalekites just moved around, but wherever they moved, there was trouble. And the reason is because they feared not God. They were a powerful people. They were very resolute people. They were fierce. They were very aggressive. They were filled with hatred, filled with hostility and fury toward the people of God. And again, we can mark it down in a time of the blessings of God and a refreshing from God. Keep your eyes open. The Amalekites are coming. They're going to show up. Somewhere, in somebody, through somebody, they're going to show up. You can mark it down. The truth is, when the Amalekites show up, it's a pretty good sign. It was these blessings. Water from a rock. You see, water, of course, was a point of contention because it wasn't very plentiful. So, it was these blessings that stirred the Amalekites. It was these blessings that inspired the Amalekites to attack. And that's how it is with the enemies of God. They can't stand to see a people blessed. And it motivates them. It inspires them to attack. Now, why were the Amalekites attacking? Again, they were trying to dispossess Israel of the water, of the blessings that they were enjoying. Now, there are valuable lessons and tremendous encouragement in how Israel engaged Amalek. We see that in verses 9 through verse 13. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Joshua and chosen men are down below, and they are fighting the Amalekites. And there is Moses. And he holds that rod. And when he holds that rod up, Aaron and Hur can see Israel prevails. But when the rod began to come down, the Amalekites began to prevail. We see that as long as the rod was held up, Israel was victorious. So Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses. The result was that Joshua discomfited. He weakened Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. What was the power behind and Joshua discomfited Amalek? What was the power behind that? It was the uplifted hands of Moses. Again, we're going to approach this from two different perspectives. Verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Think about that uplifted hand. We see it many times throughout the Scriptures. We see it often in the Psalms. It's emblematic of certain things. Notice in Psalm 28, we keep a mark there in our text, but in Psalm 28, in verse 2, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. The uplifted hand is a symbol of prayer. How do you and I prevail over the Amalekites? Prayer. Prayer. We must pray. When we stop praying, guess what happens? the Amalekites begin to prevail. We pray, and we prevail. Notice in Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That speaks of praise. That speaks of worship. Here comes the enemy. You're going to engage the enemy. And the enemy is anything that wars against your soul. Doesn't matter what it is. That's the enemy. Anything that wars against your spiritual well-being is an enemy, or at least is doing the work of an enemy. It can be a loved one, but if it wars against your soul, it's doing the work of an enemy. How do we prevail? We prevail with uplifted hand. We prevail through prayer. We prevail with uplifted hand. We prevail by praising God and worshiping God. When the enemy strikes, you need to worship. You need to be in a position to worship God. That's how we prevail. Well, I've got to outwit the enemy. That's not how it works. You pray, you praise, and you worship. The uplifted hand, notice in Psalm 143, verse 6. I stretch forth mine hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. That's a picture of seeking after God. Notice also Lamentations 2, verse 19. Same picture. Lamentations chapter 2, the 19th verse. Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Lift up thy hands toward him. That's emblematic of seeking after God. This is how we engage the enemy. But there's a problem. There's a problem. You see, we engage the enemy with uplifted hands. Prayer, praise, worship, seeking God. But there's a problem. There's a problem that every one of us have. And it's a problem because we're flesh. We're human flesh. We're frail. We read in verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. That's a problem. We hold up our hands. We pray. But the flesh gets weary. The flesh gets tired. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And somewhere along the line in the battle, we begin to let down our hands. We begin to let up in prayer. We begin to let up in worship. We begin to let up in seeking God. We get tired. And the enemy begins to prevail. And I'll tell you this. Not only will the enemy prevail, the enemy knows. And once those hands come down, he'll stomp on them. He'll stand on them to keep them down. He'll do everything he can to keep you from praying and worshiping and seeking God. Why? Because he knows you can't win without your hands up here. You can't win without praying. So the enemy does everything he can to hold down your hands, to pull down your hands. And anything in your life, any individual in your life, you've got your hands up in prayer and they're doing everything they can to pull them down. That is an enemy to your soul. They'll bring destruction to your life. But we have this problem. We don't even need for someone to come along and begin to pull our hands down. Our hands will begin to fall even if no one is around to pull them down, because we get tired. And I'm afraid that's where many of God's people are. They're too tired to pray. Too tired to praise and worship. Too tired to seek God. And the enemy prevails. So we have this problem. We're flesh. And we get tired. But glory to God, there's help. There's help. Moses' hands were heavy. Every one of us can identify. Let's be honest. There are times when you ought to pray all night long. I mean not go to bed. I mean stay up and pray and seek God's face all night long. It's needful. There are times when it is absolutely necessary. But we get tired. And that bed begins to look mighty nice. Our hands grow weary. And we stop. And the enemy begins to pray or to prevail. But again, there's help for the weary. There's Aaron and there's Hur. And they come and they strengthen the hands of Moses. They enable him to continue on in verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they, Aaron and Hur, took a stone, put it under him, because they could see he was tired. And he sat upon it, or he sat thereupon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Try holding your hands up for a long length of time. You're going to grow weary. But Moses did it till the rising of the sun. Moses was not left to himself, and neither are we. Aaron and Hur, they're there to help. Aaron was a high priest. He's a picture of our high priest, Jesus Christ. The name Hur means light. He's a picture of the Holy Spirit. When you and I engage in battle, we get tired. We get weary. Our hands begin to come down. And there's Christ, and there's the Holy Spirit. And they lift up our hands. And they lift them up. And they hold up our hands. And we're able to continue to pray. The strength isn't in us. Just like the strength was not in Moses, The strength was in Aaron and her. And our strength is in Christ. Our strength is in the Holy Spirit. And how many times we're praying, we're worshiping, we're seeking God. Our bodies begin to get tired. Our minds begin to get tired. Our hands begin to come down. And there is Christ and the Holy Spirit, and they say, you can't quit now. Keep on praying. Keep on worshiping. Keep on seeking God. And up come the hands. They give us strength to keep on. That's how battles are won. That's how battles are won in all of our lives. We have an Aaron and a Hur that stand beside us and will not allow us to stop. Oh, how we ought to thank God. How we ought to thank God that when we're about to quit because our flesh is tired, because our flesh is weak, the Spirit is willing, but we're weak and we can't go on. And here comes Christ and the Holy Spirit, and they enable us to keep on. You realize how many defeats have been avoided because of Aaron and Hur. Because of our Aaron and Hur. We, the children of God, we have our Aaron and Hur. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So here we are in a fierce battle every day. The battle is all around us. We are incessantly bombarded with policies and the philosophies and the reasonings and the world views of the spirit of Antichrist. There is the constant onslaught of the devil's programs. The constant onslaught of the devil's agendas. And the only way that you and I can gain ground spiritually is to praise God, to worship God, and seek God. It's the only way. But we get tired. And the hands begin to come down. But there's our Aaron and Hur. Christ and the Holy Spirit. And He began to lift our hands. And we're enabled to go on. And we begin to prevail over the enemy. That's the only way to win the battle. You may say, well, I've got another way. It won't work. Well, I've given a lot of thought. It won't work. I've tried it and it worked once. It won't continue. We need a strength from outside of ourselves. It's in Aaron and Hur. Jesus Christ. And when we prevail over the enemy, notice verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Who got the glory? God did. And every victory that we've ever had, every victory that we'll ever have, He gets the glory. Every one of us ought to thank God for the help that we have in Christ and the Holy Spirit. So that's one way of looking at this passage of Scripture. We can apply it to every single one of us. And our Aaron and Hur is Christ. There's another way of looking at it. It's been preached many, many times. There is a lesson here in God's people standing by the side of God's man. I preach this many times in revival meetings, in other churches. I've preached it here a couple of times. the necessity of Aaron and Hur's in the life of Moses. So we want to look at it briefly from that perspective. Moses had been called by God. Moses had been prepared by God, equipped by God, placed by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness. He was the God-provided man that they needed. He was the God-provided man that they needed at that particular time in their history. And God in His grace provided him. So it is when God gives pastors to His churches. The pastor is the church's Moses. Well, our pastor's no Moses. Well, he may not be, but he's your Moses. He is there for your well-being. He's not your enemy. He's there for the well-being of the church. He has an awesome responsibility of leading, feeding, protecting the church of the Lord. Now in our text, this was a very crucial and a very dangerous and threatening time for Israel. They were under attack, and their very existence was threatened. And Aaron and Hur, realizing the gravity of the situation, stood by the side of Moses. There's Moses, Aaron, and Hur on top of that hill. There's Joshua and the chosen men down below. And there's Moses standing at the top of the hill, the rods in his hand. He's standing there. And every time Aaron and Hur look over Moses, there he is. And then they could look down in the down below, and they could see every time Moses is holding up his hands, Israel is winning the battle. But every now and then, they look over at Moses, and he's getting tired, and the hands are coming down. And then they look down there, and they say, we're losing the battle. And Aaron and Hur, it didn't take them long to figure this out. They probably said to one, hey, you notice something? You notice when Moses is holding that rod up like that, we're winning? And you notice when he begins to drop his hands, we're losing? They figured that out. A lot of people need to figure that out. But they figured it out. So Aaron and Hur could see that when Moses held up his hands, Israel not only was winning the battle, Israel was benefited. It did not benefit Israel when Moses began to drop his hands. It benefited the Amalekites. But when Moses was holding up his hands, Israel was profited. Israel was benefited. They look over. And they see that Moses becomes tired and weak. When he became tired and weak, his hands would begin to come down. And Amalek began to prevail. Moses' hands were heavy. Why? Why? Why were the hands of Moses heavy? Same reason our hands are heavy, every one of us. He was a man. He was a man. He had weakness. He had shortcomings. He had temptations. He had inward battles just like everyone else. And don't you think? Don't you believe that the devil was doing everything in his power the devil could see? Moses is holding up his hands like this. Israel's winning. So the devil's doing everything in his power. I'm going to attack Moses. He's throwing every dart he can at Moses to get Moses to drop his hands. Because when Moses dropped his hand, the enemy benefited, and not Israel. So Moses, just like the Moses of any church, is the special target of the enemy. And say he was the only target. The truth is, he'll make someone else a target, get them, and then make that person his next dart to throw at his main target. That's the way it works. But Moses is the main target. Because if we can get Moses to drop his hands, Israel loses. Moses, because he was a man, he experienced tiredness. He became tired. You know, Moses could feel the heat of the sun just as much as Aaron and Hur. He wasn't immune. He wasn't immune to the heat. He wasn't immune from the weaknesses. They've been walking in the wilderness. He wasn't immune from the wilderness. You know, most failed to realize this simple truth. When they were in Rephidim, the people were tired and thirsty. But it didn't cross too many people's mind. You know, I bet Moses is tired too. It didn't cross their mind. Because they began to chide against Moses. We're thirsty. Moses has been walking just as long as we have. And besides that, he's the special target of Satan. You know, he must be thirsty too. They didn't think that. You know, a lot of times, I'm not complaining, stating a fact. A lot of times, a pastor is not human, he's an entity. That's all he is. He's an entity. You be there when we need you. That's it. Moses, no one seemed to think, you know, Moses is tired, he's thirsty. Moses' hands were heavy. Aaron and Hur, when they saw Moses begin to drop his hands and the enemy began to prevail, they could have observed him with a critical eye. And they could have said, "Hey, Aaron, look at him. Look at him. Look at him. He's tired. If he really cared, he wouldn't get tired. Certainly, Moses can see that if he's holding his hands up, Israel's winning. And if he lets his hands down, Israel's losing. He doesn't care. Look at him, Aaron. He's letting his hands down." Well, Hur, you know what I think we ought to do? We need to find us another Moses. This one's not doing the job. We need another Moses. And they start a campaign. And during their campaign, guess what's happening? Moses' hands are down. And the enemy is prevailing. They didn't do that. They didn't look with a critical eye. Aaron and Hur could have looked at Moses
Aaron, look at him. Holding his hands like that. Doesn't he know he should hold them over like this? Oh, no, he should hold them over like this. Or maybe like this. He's doing it all wrong. He's lost his mind. We need a new Moses.
In all their criticism, guess what's happening? The enemy is prevailing. Who's really doing the enemy's work, if that's the case? Aaron and Hur. They could have, after observing Moses get tired, they could have said, well, we got to do something. Let's go down there and talk to some of the other men down there fighting. We'll get a committee. We'll do something. But Moses has got to go. He shouldn't be getting tired. But they didn't do that. That's not what they did. Aaron and Hur, realizing that this was a very grave and serious time, realizing that this was a very dangerous and crucial time, and realizing, not because Moses was better, but because of where God placed Moses. Realizing that Moses was of great significance to the well-being of the nation. They sought to give him relief. Moses' hands are up, Israel's winning. Aaron and Hur look over, and Moses' hands, because Moses is getting tired, the hands become get weary and come down. And Aaron and Hur look out and see that Israel is now losing the battle every time the hands begin to drop. And what did they do? Hey, Aaron, we need to do something to help him. This is a very serious matter. We need to do something to help Moses. And Aaron, yes, sir, I agree. We need to do something. We need to do something to help him. In verse 12, they took a stone. There's Moses. He's standing. It says they took a stone. And Moses sat thereon. So there he is standing. It's a lot harder. I don't know how tall Moses was. I don't know how tall Aaron and Hur were. But I do know this. It's a lot harder if a man is standing, holding up his arms like this, for someone standing next to him to hold up their arms. So they get a stone, a rock. And Moses sits down on the rock. And he holds up his hands. And there's Aaron. There's Hur. And what have they done? They've each put themselves in a position where they can help Moses. They put themselves purposely in a position. And you know what else? Aaron didn't say, hey, I want to be on the right side. No, I want to be on the right side. They took their positions without any arguing. And they held up the hands of Moses. And every time Moses began to let down his hand just a little bit, up they came. And I can hear Aaron and I can hear Hur. And they're saying, Moses, we're not going to let you get tired. Moses, we're not going to let you get discouraged. Moses, we're not going to let you quit. We're here. We're here. We're going to hold up your hands. We can't afford for you, Moses, to get discouraged. And there isn't a church in America today that can afford for their pastor to get discouraged. Moses, we're not going to let you quit. We're not going to let it happen. We're here for you, Moses. We're going to hold up your hands. And there they stood. And Moses held up his hands until the sun went down. And Israel prevailed. Moses, we're not going to let you be defeated. You cannot afford, whether I'm your pastor or whoever is your pastor,
You cannot afford for your pastor to be defeated. You do not, if it looks like he's getting that way, oh, we need a new Moses. He shouldn't be getting defeated. He's an entity. He's not human. He's a machine. No, you ought to say, what can we do? What can we do to help our Moses? And in helping our Moses, what are we doing? We're helping the nation or we're helping the church because we begin to prevail. You fight against the pastor, you are doing the enemy's work against the church. Unless he is a heretic, unless he's immoral, you are doing the enemy's work. If you do anything to try to hold his hands down, you are doing the work of the enemy. But we need some Aarons and hers. We're going to stand. Say, Moses, we know you're tired. Moses, we're tired too. But Moses, we can't afford for you to get tired. Moses, we can't afford for you to quit. Moses, we can't afford for you to get discouraged. Moses, we can't afford for you to be defeated. We need you, Moses. Moses, we need you. Hold up your hands, Moses. We're here. We're here to hold them up. That's what they did. And Israel prevailed. So both ways, whichever perspective you want to look at this, look at it individually. We have an Aaron and Hur that holds up our hands. We ought to thank God every day. We ought to go to Him every day, thanking Him, pleading with Him. Oh God, I'm getting tired. Oh Lord, I'm getting tired. We've all done it. I've done it innumerable times. Lord, I'm too tired. Lord, I can't keep doing this. Lord, please. Lord, please let me quit. Lord, would you just let me quit? Lord, I don't want to do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. And there come up the hands. Moses and Aaron begin to hold up the hands. Our Christ and our Holy Spirit. And we're strengthened for that day. And that's the only day we need to concern ourselves with. The next day, if we're here, Aaron and Hur will be there. That's how we prevail. But then every church has a God-placed Moses. And there needs to be some Aaron and Hurs. I'm thankful that everywhere I've pastored, I've had Aarons and Hurs. I'm thankful that I have Aarons and Hurs now. I also, where I've pastored, I've had those who do everything they can to pull the hands down. But here comes Aaron and Hur. We're here for you. We're here for you. You know what else Aaron and Hur could have done? When Moses began to let down his hands, they could have stepped way, way back. We're here for you, Moses. We're right behind you, Moses. Yeah, they're right behind you. They're not doing a thing. They'll uphold his hands. But they took a position, one on each side. They didn't fight amongst themselves because that wouldn't have done any good. And they held up the hands. We ought to thank God for Aaron's and Hur. And I want to tell you, after that battle, I'm sure the men below were, good job, Joshua. Good job. Good job. I doubt seriously that anyone, maybe Moses, said, you know, we ought to go thank Aaron and Hur. Because they couldn't even see what Aaron and Hur were doing up in that mountaintop. Aaron's and Hur's many times stand quietly and just uphold the hand and their blessing. So we ought to thank God for our Aaron and Hur. And we ought to strive, our Aaron and Hur being Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we ought to strive to be an Aaron and Hur.
I don't think churches realize what they lose when an Aaron or her in the church, one who has held up the hands of Moses, that one goes on to be with the Lord. What a loss. Lord will usually replace them. But what a loss the church has experienced. You know, when a church member passes away, we say we've suffered a loss. Many times that is very true spiritually. The church has suffered a great loss because they were an Aaron and Hur. Others may look upon them and say, well, they didn't do that much. If they stood on that mountaintop and held up the hands of your Moses, you've suffered a great loss, a tremendous loss. And the Aarons and Hurs are getting fewer and fewer all the time. I've always had them. I've always had them. I've been blessed. I've had fierce enemies in the church where I've pastored through the years. But I've always had Aarons and Hurs that God sent. Oh, how we ought to thank God for our Aaron and Hur, but oh, how we ought to thank God, or how we ought to seek God that we would be that one. That we would be an Aaron and a Hur and hold up the hands of Moses. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse 7.